Hey, everybody, and welcome to our first episode of a live Proud to Work in Cannabis podcast. We are coming to you from MJ Biz. So excited to have Matt Darin, the CEO of Curaleaf, with me for our first ever live podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. You were just telling me this is, what, your 10th MJ Biz?
Yeah, I think this is number 10. I was thinking back to 2014 when I was here for my first MJ BizCon, which was back at the Rio Convention Center. So not quite at the big convention center like it is now, but very, very different conference than it is today.
Well, that's a perfect segue into why did you decide to go to MJ BizCon in 2014? Give us a For people that don't know your story, I'd love to just learn, you know, what possibly came over you that you said, I'm going to go to a cannabis conference in 2014.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Chicago and had done a few different things in my career, but had a commercial real estate investment company in Chicago with a couple partners. We were a few years into that. And in August of 2013, I was literally reading the Chicago Tribune newspaper when I read that Illinois had passed a medical cannabis law. And I, you know, was a longtime believer in the cannabis plant and, you know, really kind of thought it was going to continue to be better understood and go more mainstream over time. And so I had to be involved from the ground floor.
So you read the paper, you decide you have to be involved. What are the next steps? I think, you know, so many people want to start businesses or want to get involved, and they look at someone like you and they think, man, how did he get from reading the paper to being the CEO of the largest public cannabis company in the United States? Like, take us to the early days. What did you actually do?
Yeah, so was not predicting that would be here today for sure when we first got into it. So, yeah, so saw the opportunity. You know, Illinois was kind of the first of its kind running a merit-based process to apply for licenses for 20 cultivation licenses and 60 dispensary licenses. I went to my partners in our real estate business and said, we got to apply for these licenses. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Let's go figure this out, just like it's another real estate deal that we were already doing. And one of the partners was very skeptical and said, you know, this is illegal and we have investors and lenders and this is, you know, don't even go there. Another one was a little more cynical about some of the Chicago politics and things that were going to be involved in getting the licenses. But I said, let's give it a shot. Go spend time doing due diligence. So we did that. Went out to Colorado a bunch, California, Arizona, markets that were already legal. Did the homework and ultimately put together applications. And we're fortunate to get three of the original dispensaries in Chicago.
And the name of that business was Grassroots?
That original business was Greenhouse. So we operated our first three stores in Illinois under the Greenhouse brand, which wasn't the most original, but we liked it.
But at the time, it might have been original.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more than it is today. So we jumped in. We got three of the original licenses and you know, basically went and did all the work to go lock down the real estate, get them built, get the stores open, the teams trained. I was the assistant manager at one of our stores, which was a 100 miles round trip from my house. So it was definitely a serious addition to my day job that I already had working in commercial real estate. But it was immediately fascinating, and just the excitement about kind of being part of this new industry that was just developing was really unique.
So what year was that when these three dispensaries opened up? Just to give people a frame of reference.
Yeah, so the licenses were awarded in September of 2014. Okay. It took some time, just like all these processes. There was some litigation and things like that that slowed some things down. We ultimately opened our first stores in January of 2016.
So January of 2016, you open your first stores. Describe that first year to us. You're literally the assistant store manager. You know, what was that first year like?
Oh, it was interesting. It's looking back at you know, how Illinois kind of spawned many of the largest, most successful cannabis companies in the U.S. and I guess the world today. I think it's no accident, you know, kind of based on where everything started from. It was really, really tough those first few years. You know, Illinois, it was a pilot program. It was a temporary law. We had a governor that was not friendly to the law at all. We had sleepless nights, legitimately wondering whether the medical program would even get renewed or we would lose our entire investment and have to shut down operations. Fortunately, that didn't happen, but it was not easy. I remember working a 10-hour day in our dispensary where we might see literally 15 patients in 10 hours. A patient would walk in and we would cheer and just be so excited to have somebody coming in. So there was
15 patients in 10 hours.
Yeah, that's what it was like in the early days. I mean, it was really, you know, the medical conditions that allowed you to get a medical card, you had to be half dead to get a card, basically. And so it was not easy. But I think that's a lot of what gave us the backbone to be able to, you know, really grow over time.
And so then after 2016, you know, you got through some of these hard times. Can you keep walking us through your story and how the business evolved?
Sure. So we got, as we got in, we saw the opportunity. We applied for one of the original cultivation licenses. Mm-hmm. They only issued 20. We did not get one of the original ones, but we ended up acquiring one pretty quickly thereafter from a group that needed to bring in a partner. And so immediately the focus was, let's get vertically integrated. That was a unique opportunity that we saw long term that we felt was going to be the position of strength that you needed to have. And so we ended up getting a grow facility set up in central Illinois. And then Maryland came about as the next state that was issuing another similar process, issuing limited licenses to grow and process and dispense. We ended up applying there and were successful to get all those licenses and you know, moved into Maryland. And then quickly thereafter, more states started happening. And so Maryland, Pennsylvania, and then Ohio came pretty much back to back. And we were fortunate to win licenses in all those states and be able to kind of be part of the first movers in each of those markets.
Now I want to get to Curaleaf, of course, but I want to finish this part of your journey. At some point, your business is acquired. Can you talk to us about that journey?
Sure. Yeah. So the business, we ended up creating Grassroots, and that was the company that we developed and based out of Chicago and really focused more on the eastern part of the country, major markets, Illinois and Pennsylvania and Maryland and a handful of others. And we were happy running our business out of Chicago, doing well, continuing to grow into new markets. You know, we woke up one day and had 1,200 employees and licenses in 12 states and was really growing exponentially. That was around the time in 2018-19 when companies were going public, U.S. companies in Canada, and we were looking at the outlook saying, you know, what is the future here? How do we continue to grow and raise capital and be able to compete as the market was continuing to mature? It's a very capital-intensive business, being a multi-state operator, building out grow facilities and dispensaries. And so we looked around the landscape. We considered going public up in Canada and kind of went through that process. We ended up meeting up with the Curaleaf team and really kind of saw a natural fit for us to work together.
So Curaleaf acquires your business and you go and join the Curaleaf team. And then, you know, at some point we all woke up to the announcement that you were the CEO. So can you talk to us about how that came about?
Yeah. So, you know, we ended up after a long, arduous process closing the transaction in July of 2020.
Right in the pandemic.
Right in the pandemic. So interesting times to work through closing a major transaction.
Zoom. You had to download Zoom.
Yes. A lot of remote meetings and meeting a lot of new colleagues, you know, over the internet, which was not easy.
But, and I want to get to your thoughts on remote work and when we get to your you know, your Curaleaf time.
Sure, yeah. So that's a hot topic.
Hot topic.
So yeah, so we ended up closing in July 2020. I stayed on in a management role with Curaleaf as a regional president overseeing the central part of the country, which was much of the grassroots assets, and really wanted to stay involved. You know, I love being part of the operations of the cannabis business and you know, just had a great team that we were bringing on from grassroots and a lot of amazing people at Curaleaf that I was starting to meet and work with, and I wanted to be involved. So I stayed on in that role. I ended up relocating to Florida during the pandemic to oversee the Southeast for Curaleaf as well, which was an exciting new opportunity. That was kind of the biggest market that we were pushing into, opening a lot of new stores, building out capacity, and really making a bigger move into that market. So it was kind of a fun new challenge to go move my family to Florida and focus on that. And then ultimately, you know, moved into the CEO role in May of 2022. So yeah, it's been
had your 1-year anniversary.
Yeah, so it's been a year and a half now, and yeah, it's you know, the fun is never ending in cannabis. It's definitely challenges abound, but I still get excited waking up every morning, you know, just with being able to try to create this playbook that nobody's ever fully created yet. So
this podcast is called the Proud to Work in Cannabis Podcast, and the majority of the people that listen to it are current employees in the industry or people that want to get into the industry. And so for you, you're hiring tens of thousands of people every single year. What do you think is the number one thing that employees have, you know, what about them makes them successful in your business? So when you look to hire, what are you looking for in the people that you hire?
The number one trait that I look at is resilience. I think, and it's not always easy to screen for in an interview process, but when we're talking to candidates and you know, talking to potential new team members, especially ones that do not have industry experience, those that have been in the industry, I think, understand some of the unique challenges and what it takes getting knocked down, you know, most days and having to pick yourself back up, and just some of the really unique nuances of this industry. But for those that are new, I have found that you know, while many have been successful, and it's certainly very, very possible, and we have a lot of great stories of people that have come from other industries, until you're in it, you do not understand how difficult it can be, given the state-by-state nature of the business, all the regulatory and compliance dynamics, the fact that you're, you know, running a whole business of agriculture and manufacturing and you know, food processing and retail stores. It's a very unnatural business model that that we run, but that's the challenge.
And I think about someone like you. You were literally working 15. You were literally working 10-hour days as an assistant manager when 15 patients came in. And so I think, like so many people out there, everyone's like an overnight success, right? So people just see you and they think like one day you just woke up as CEO of Curaleaf. But in fact, you were working in a dispensary when only 15 patients were coming in. And so, you know, for people that are just getting started, I think it's so inspiring for them to hear that they could be an assistant store manager right now and have the opportunity to, you know, work and grow. When you have seen employees that have really worked their way up, you know, outside of resilience, is there any common thread between people? Everyone's coming to us saying, you know, I want to get promoted. I want to get ahead. Like, what do I need to do? And of course, it's like, you need to be resilient and show up. But is there anything else that you've seen where, like, because you have some of the best talent in the world on the Curaleaf team, like, what about those people do you think that makes them so great?
Yeah, I think it is somebody that is interested in being very knowledgeable about the cannabis plant and the industry that we're in and the consumer, and that it doesn't mean that you have to be a lifelong cannabis consumer or you know, necessarily be the world's expert in it, but you have to demonstrate an interest in learning, in developing, in wanting to get exposed to, you know, all facets of the business as best as you can. And that's what I've found is people that are committed to doing that, there's so much information out there. And if you want to get educated, the information's there in terms of internal tools that we offer with our training programs, as well as just information generally available. People need to be knowledgeable about cannabis plant, cannabis products. We're not making widgets. This is a different business. And I have found that that is people that have had great stories moving up into different roles. It's because they've had a genuine interest and passion in the industry, in the products that we produce in the plant.
You know, we all talk about like how challenging the space has been over the last, you know, decade. It's kind of a tough question, but is there one challenge that comes to mind where you're like, that was the absolute most challenging thing that I've gone through in the cannabis industry, outside of just like the day-to-day of like, today my bank account got closed, tomorrow, you know, I'm sure, you know, I want to buy a house and I can't get the mortgage because I'm in the cannabis industry, or this employee won't come work for us because of the stigma. Like, there's so many challenges. I love asking people, like, what is the, if you had to pick one challenge that comes to your brain, which one is it?
Wow, there's so many to count. Yeah, that's a hard one. Look, I'll point to a a recent one that occurred that was really, I think, a pivotal moment and something that that I'm really proud of, which was we had kind of a crazy occurrence happen, you know, where there was a license that we held, a very, you know, important license in New Jersey. And due to reasons that I won't go into, ultimately, there was an issue where the license was potentially going to get revoked and it was going to have a major impact on our business and was completely wrong and, you know, really did not have any merit whatsoever. And so my team mobilized over the course of a weekend, basically, and, you know, basically brought together our entire team and was able to get this, you know, decision turned around over a weekend, basically, which I've never seen a state regulatory agency ultimately, you know, kind of reverse a decision that quickly. But was just incredibly proud. It was an amazing moment. We ended up bringing hundreds of team members together from our facilities in New Jersey, a lot of friends, customers that came to support us, and basically had a protest outside of the agency that that governed the industry there, and was able to get the decision reversed. But that weekend was incredibly challenging and difficult, and had big stakes at play. And but I think it showed the back to the resilience piece, and back to having that will to do whatever it takes to be successful. You know, that was one that I point back to.
You know, another cool thing about that story is that like we talk about, so you guys are the biggest U.S. cannabis company. But when you started out, you only had three stores and everyone was so scrappy. I feel like sometimes along the way, when companies get so big, they can't do these like all come together, move super fast, get something fixed over a weekend. So it feels to me like you've carried that early day one scrappy culture all the way through where you are now. How important is it for people that join the industry to like be scrappy? I mean, I think about so many big corporations, there's no way people could come together over a weekend and get something like this done in a weekend. And so how have you, you know, I talk to founders who are like, you know, I want to go back to like the early days when we were just like getting in a room, getting shit done, moving super fast. But now I have a couple thousand employees and like I can't like move people. How have you been able to keep the culture and the mentality this like day one so that you could do something like that over the course of a weekend? Because not very many multi-thousand person companies can do what you just described.
Yeah, you know, I call it the entrepreneurial spirit, and it's something that, you know, I have. It's always been in my blood. That's, you know, why I decided at a young age to go off on my own and work for myself. But I think it's incredibly important for companies to continue to have that entrepreneurial spirit. And I laugh a little bit at this notion of these, you know, corporate cannabis companies that are these large conglomerates. The reality is, you know, these companies are run by entrepreneurs just like myself and many others, and they're still relatively young companies. This is still a very young industry, even though we've been at this for 10 years when you think about it kind of in a long-term view. And so it's incredibly important to have that entrepreneurial spirit, to be scrappy, to be solution-oriented. You know, as I said, this industry, there's no playbook for exactly running a multi-state or a global cannabis business. You're writing the playbook, and that requires a you know, entrepreneurial mindset where you know, that's not rigid. It's not already, you know, there for you. Not every SOP has been fully developed. You have to build that.
I mean, you heard it here first. The largest cannabis company says, got to be scrappy, got to move fast. And so if Curaleaf is saying that, every single other business that's significantly smaller has to be taking that approach. Moving forward to thinking about 2024, we're sitting here, it's November, end of November 2023. What are you optimistic about going into 2024, and you know, what is your hope for the year?
Yeah, I'm feeling very optimistic at the moment. There's no doubt this industry has gone from hyper growth to a next phase of its evolution, and it's not been an easy couple years, as you've seen markets that have gotten really oversupplied, some of the regulations that have gone awry and really created some very challenging markets. But I feel like many companies have used this period of time, us included, to really tighten our belts, to focus on really improving operations, continuing to focus on execution, and have really become stronger businesses coming out of a hyper-growth era into a more stabilized, you know, foundationally set business. And so I think I'm really happy with a lot of the work that we've been doing on that front. And I look at the forecasts of what's taken place and just some trends that we're seeing with some of the things like pricing compression and some of the oversupply that occurred. And look, the lack of capital that's come into the market the last couple years has actually done a good thing to kind of rebalance you know, some of the supply and demand in that. So I'm feeling bullish bullish about where the industry is now headed. You know, this industry has always been based on state-level catalysts, and I think that's going to continue to happen. You know, New York's the big one that we're excited about that, you know, we're hoping to be able to, you know, be launching there in the adult use market very, very soon here. We've got other catalysts on the horizon. Really looking forward to Germany. You know, we have a major presence in Europe.
I saw on Twitter that you were...
Yeah, and I was just over there in London meeting with our team, and you know, Europe's not a story really getting talked about a lot in the U.S. today, but I think starting in 2024, with Germany removing cannabis from the narcotics list, it's going to really become front and center a lot more in the next few years, and so it's a big focus of ours, and we're seeing Germany as a real big catalyst, 80 million people, and it's going to grow into a very large medical market. So we have some of those catalysts on the horizon, obviously some more states, hopefully with places like Florida and Pennsylvania and Ohio that should be launching in September. And so I think there's some good things.
Some great hires coming.
Some great hires, of course. Always looking to add top talent, you know, to the Curaleaf team. And yeah.
So my last question for you, because I know you have to get back out there to MJ BizCon. If you could give yourself in 2013, if you could give Matt 2013 advice, you're now sitting here as CEO of Curaleaf, you're giving Matt 2013 advice, walking into the trade show in the Rio, what one piece of advice would you give yourself back then that you wish you knew over your decade career in cannabis?
Wow, that is a
I really
great
go
question.
For like the personal questions out
yeah,
here.
Wow.
This is a chance to get to know Matt,
yeah.
Different level.
That's a good one. Buy a helmet maybe? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I would say it is you know, prepare for the unexpected. I think, you know, that is cannabis. Every day is different. There are things around the corner that you're not going to see and that you have to be able to quickly adapt and pivot and keep an open mind to that. You know, a lot of what I thought, you know, a handful of years ago, even more recently, you know what, I have a different point of view on now. I've kept an open mind and I've, you know, tried to listen to different voices and, you know, really, and look, the industry continues to evolve. That's part of what makes it super fun is just it is always changing. And again, it's still relatively in its early stages, I believe. This is a much longer story. So I would say just really kind of having that open mind and, you know, be able to, you know, pivot when needed.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And for everybody, before we started recording, I checked on Vanks.com. Curaleaf has over 200 open jobs on Vanks.com right now. So if you want the chance to join Matt's incredible team, growing team, you can visit Vanks.com/Curaleaf and apply to any of the jobs to get in touch directly with your awesome talent team who we work with. So thank you so much for being a customer of Vanks. We really appreciate your business and your partnership over the years. And I can't wait to see what you do in 2024 and beyond. So it's a great time having you on. I'm so glad we got to do this.
Thank you. It's been great working with you and your team, and look forward to more.
Thanks.